The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world. To take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches, along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. How the hell are you doing, man?
I feel like it's been a while since we've been here, like, you know, with our recording schedule and stuff like
that. Yeah, a little behind the scenes, you know, we do have shoot jobs. So,
right.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we can't sit down every Sunday evening and record our Monday morning episode.
This is just like I talk about it all the time. I just saw a Reddit post that said, please, how much wrestling content are you actually like watching? And you and I've had this conversation at length. It was actually kind of all over the board. It was interesting to see like what people were choosing. And, you know, some, there was a lot of impact down there. There was, of course, like, you know, some people were picked their lane. They were WWE or they were AEW, but I'm excited here. Best WrestleMania ever, X7. I mean, that's what it's always been said. Do you agree with this? It's what we're getting into today. I don't know.
Well, I'll buzz through the card in a second. And let's both give our opinion. I mean, just kind of top to bottom on what we think. I know we've covered it before, but let's look at it. And I'll tell you, you know, what's interesting to think about. And I think you may never in your lifetime see a one night WrestleMania ever again. Okay. Mm-hmm. But what I at one point tweeted out, I said, you know, if you combine these two cards and only pick the best matches, this WrestleMania could have been certainly top five ever.
Yep. Yeah. Between the filler, like, I think you make a really interesting point there. Yep.
I just go through the two cards, take, you know, roughly about 2 hours from each evening, give or take, and tell me what that 4 hour show looks like. It's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So I mean,
it was even with some of the other stuff there were some duds, but even still you pick and choose, like, yeah, that would have been up there surprisingly too. Like, I feel like the bar was fairly mediocre, like mid grade on that. And it went really well.
Yeah. My expectations were absolutely exceeded. So, you know, just to ask the obvious, you know, why did we want to cover this one? And of course, Edge still active, Christian still active, Hardy's still active. I know Devon's done. Is Bubba still working at all anymore?
Yeah, Bubba's still around. Oh yeah,
okay. We've got, okay,
of course, the podcast. So, and that's actually exactly why I picked this one, because I remember putting this on the list early. You know, WrestleMania, it's in the, you know, rearview mirror at this point, but still a really good match. It was one that we'll talk about some of their other matches that we've talked about on this one. It's at the time. It's crazy to think like this was the first time there was an actual TLC match. We had like the different variations of the different matches, but part of it is like, you know, looking back at this one, at this point, like this match taking place, I mean, this was 20 years ago, and, you know, five out of the six guys in there still go, and Devon probably could still go. And so, crazy to think some of this, I don't even want to call it reinvention, just the, you know, the longevity of some of these guys, like, it's just crazy.
You would have thought they'd be more likely to be dead than still wrestling.
well, you know, are the wrestling Undertaker cinematic matches or something like that. And Jeff Hardy's still out there doing, like, you know, doing swantons in the lobby off a ladder onto the merch table, like just crazy shit still that it's like, dude. And it's funny. I enjoy reading the comments where he's like, I wish I had picked a finisher that wasn't so fucking hard on my back and like doing the swanton and shit like that, because yeah, I've been doing it now for 20 years. Like I get it. And so, yeah, I think this is one, and it's, I won't say it's a spot fest this match, but there is a lot of just memorable things that happen in this match that I'm excited for us to kind of see again. And yeah, like these guys, like I'm interested to watch this at kind of what we've seen over the last year or two with some of these guys and, you know, shades of what we're seeing now, you know, were they doing some of these things 20 years ago, and does it hold up? I mean, I guess it does, but we're about to find out.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this one as well. Just so much to cover. I it's hard to believe that these guys are still active. So
yeah. Yep.
Let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
So obviously, you know, gosh, one of the most famous WrestleManias of all time. Obviously, many hold it in high regard and say it's the greatest WrestleMania of all time. We've covered a match on this show already, so we have gone through this card, but Jeff, as you look through this card, you know, tell me, you know, how it stacks up all time, you know, how it, you think it even stacks up against this past WrestleMania. I'm curious, cause I do think we saw one of the best, but you know, dome show, 68,000 in attendance, buy rate of over 1 million people, back when you had to spend 30, 40, 50 bucks for these damn things. I mean, the show itself, Jericho Regal IC title, Taz in the APA against the Right to Censor. You had the hardcore match with Kane, Raven, and Big Show, Eddie and Test, Angle, Benoit, China Ivory, Shane and Vince, the match we're going to cover, that really, really fun gimmick battle royal, Taker, Triple H, and Austin Rock. I will tell you, as I look at this card and I look at this past WrestleMania, man, I don't know. You could argue either side. I mean, this was a great one, but man, we saw some pretty good stuff recently as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, I mean, is there really a bad match on this card? Like, yeah, China Ivory was short, like the gimmick battle royal. So we can maybe talk about this a little bit more during the match, but like stance on, you know, doing these funny segments, the Jackass stuff, the Logan Paul stuff, like, you know, that's obviously the immediate reaction. And even the kind of after was, it's not, you know, for everybody. And so kind of throwing something like this in there, you know, for a little bit with Iron Sheik, you know, going over on this one, like, I don't have a problem with it. I think that we need, you know, people forget, like, maybe AEW is kind of poisoning people a little bit, and that they want, if you want serious wrestling, you can go there. But if WWE forever has been doing that kind of that funny stuff. And if you couldn't find something to laugh at in that Jackass match, like, there's just bigger issues with you. Like, and, you know, I didn't like every single part of it either, but it was funny. Like, you know, and that's the whole point. Like, my one buddy texted our group during it, is he's like, I'm laughing my ass off. He's like, I can't stop laughing. I was like, all right, that's cool. Like, you know, for what, 30 years you had an undead, you know, man as your biggest star. So like, come on, like, you know, he summons lightning down from the rafters. Like, let's get real about this for a minute. So
this isn't to just blindly defend everything that the WWE does, but understand that like the business model is different now than it's ever been. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So they're on Peacock, and guess who's watching Peacock? Friends of ours that haven't watched wrestling in 20 years.
Yep.
You know how many friends of mine I have that watched on, you know, I watched WrestleMania that hadn't watched it in years, if not a decade, and they wanted to show their son Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, so yes, the hardcore wrestling fan that's on wrestling Twitter for an hour a day, not all of that was for them. It was for the 38-year-old guy that wanted to show his 7-year-old son Stone Cold Steve Austin. Or they had watched Jackass and were like, you got to see this. Or they're into the Paul brothers. So, you know, it's a variety show. There's stuff for everyone. So, I you know, again, you can go back and forth about that. But what's our goal here? Is our goal to have a steady, loyal audience that doesn't really grow and doesn't subtract? Or are we trying to be Disney and we're trying to be a global phenomenon that families all around the world can watch? And we know the answer to that. And that's just the business model. So you're going to get a variety of stuff and you're not going to like it all. But over the course of 8 hours, hopefully you can find what you like. And oh, by the way, it's free.
And I think Nick Khan, to your point, Nick Khan said like the number of new viewers was a couple million or something.
Astronomical. New viewers and people that have said the reason they joined Peacock or the reason that they upgraded to the higher tier is because of the wrestling content.
Yep.
You know, they're getting whatever it is, $250 million a year from Peacock. Guess what? They have to make sure they're worth it.
Yep.
And they've got to do more than just, oh, we're going to put on good wrestling.
Yeah. And they're doing it. So,
hey, and you know, Tony Khan right now, he has to get that TV deal renewed. And there's no guarantee he's going to get that TV deal renewed because there's new ownership. There's new people in charge of the whole Time Warner, Discovery, that whole conglomerate. Okay. They may say, yeah, we don't want wrestling on our air. Or, hey, why have you not been able to grow your audience in the past couple of years? It's steady.
Well, so, you know, this week is the big another big announcement from Tony Khan, which I'm kind of getting over that as well too. And we like sitting here as a recording, we don't know what it's going to be. The rumors is it's going to be like, you know, potential streaming deal or, you know, because they, now that they have Ring of Honor, like
New Japan Supercard, whatever it is, I'll tell you. And I could go on a 20-minute rant about this. You can follow me on Twitter @payoff Tom if you want to hear more about it. But Tony Khan is doing the product a lot of damage by being as visible as he is.
Yep.
The big announcements, the I'm going to stand next to Samoa Joe and go crazy, the talking about booking decisions 24 hours after a television show, you know, it's all about him, but then when he makes a bad booking decision, well, someone that had been with the, you know, in the industry for 30 years,
30 years. Decision. Yeah. I saw that.
You know, yeah. And it's, you know, I spend a decent amount of time on wrestling Twitter and he's doing a lot of damage, you know, and just shut up, put great shows on. It's not about you. And just put on a great show. It doesn't have to be, this is going to be a great show and this is going to be a great card. Well, what you're conditioning me to think is some shows have a big announcement, a big card, and others don't. I'm not going to tune into the ones that don't. The reason the Attitude Era was so successful is you had no idea what was going to happen on Raw. You had no idea what was going to happen on Nitro. So guess what you did? You tuned in every Monday. And then you told your friends about it and they tuned in every Monday. But if you're conditioning the audience to say, hey, did Tony Khan say there was going to be like a big main event this week? Or did he say there's a big announcement? Or I'll just record it and I'll just catch the results online. That's one of the reasons they can't grow their audience. He is doing more harm than good. I'm not saying everything he does is bad. I'm just saying he's doing a lot of harm to the product by accident. And it's because he has to be so visible.
He needs like a Jack Tunney. Like we thought when William Regal came in, maybe that was going to be William Regal's role, but like, you know, kind of taking it from, if you're going to have serious wrestling, take that from a serious approach. And like, I've been like, and I don't know if you've ever done, or it's been a while since you've done an AEW live show. Tony Khan comes out a lot. And so, like, you know, he'll do the post kind of after they go off the air, like, thanks for coming, like, which that's fine. Like, you know,
but then be that person. Then yeah. Be the yep. Aw shucks owner that just, you know, talks. But he's also trying to be like the booker in storylines too. So he's trying to be a character, but then he's talking about how fake it is and how he writes the stories all himself. It's too much, and it's trying to be two different roles. So all I think is, I think this shit is fake. You've got a billionaire son that's sitting in the back writing it all.
Well, and he is, how many times, I feel like it's monthly now, he's putting his foot in his mouth too.
Oh, yeah. So,
like, and he's proving, like, he's our age. He's 40 years old. Like, he doesn't know, like, Vince is 70 years old and has that much more experience doing this. So yeah, while we don't like everything that Vince does, and Vince, like, and that's the thing, you can be upset that Vince can't take a stunner. Okay. That's not new news. Like, Vince could never take a stunner in the last 20 years. So, like, you know, yeah, it looked terrible, but also he's like, you know what? I think he said after the fact, he knew it was bad, but the fans enjoyed the hell out of it. So who cares? Like,
they laughed.
Yeah. He laughed about it. So, yep. You know, I could see that, but yeah, just crazy. So,
to tie a bow on this show, it was, you know, it's one of the all time greats. You have all this crazy stuff going on with WWE buying WCW, Nitro. Here's a little trivia for you. I think I knew this, but I forgot. The ending of Nitro was actually an Austin Rock promo for WrestleMania 17. So that was the final moment of Nitro. Obviously, no idea. You know, you had the WCW guys in the box for this show. We had no idea what they were going to do. They were talking about TV tapings on Wednesdays after Raw and Monday, SmackDown on Tuesdays. All these guys were under Time Warner contracts. They had made, so WWE's revenue for 2000 was $456 million, but then they said, we can't afford Goldberg at $6 million. So, you know, there was a lot of that, which, you know, they weren't going to buy out those big contracts. But it's just funny. It's like all of WWE's revenue in 2001, you fast forward to 2022, and, you know, they're going to do more on that based on three TV contracts, Raw, SmackDown, and Peacock. So,
right.
Anyways, it's just, What a wild time. You had all the XFL stuff going on. Of course, here we are, you know, 20 some years later, the XFL is back, but then it's owned by The Rock, who's now the biggest movie star in Hollywood.
Because we could have seen that coming at the time.
That's what I love about this business, man. It's just, it's unlike any other form of entertainment. Like, you, if you're a movie buff or a music buff, okay, None of the stuff that happens is that interesting, right? That's why, like, you know, when people talk about, like, oh, movie stars and, you know, Hollywood, I'm like, that is not 1/100th as interesting as the pro wrestling business. Because talk about the pro wrestling business, like, oh, well, you know, you explain Vince and he bought out his father. Try to explain Vince McMahon to someone. Try to explain Hulk Hogan. Try to explain competitive companies and buying them out and the NWO and all the lawsuits and all the, you know, dark side of the ring. Each of those stories, try explaining any of those to someone. It's way more interesting than, oh, this guy joined this band and he OD'd and, you know, this person was in this movie. I mean, you know, oh, Will Smith at the Oscars. Come on, man. There's a thousand things that have happened in wrestling that are far more interesting than that. And we're actually probably even more believable at the time. So anyways, how did we get to TLC? You know, this is back in the day where, you know, a longtime feud culminated in a big gimmick match, not, hey, we have Elimination Chamber coming up next month, so we got to jam six guys into that structure. Or, hey, we have Hell in a Cell coming up, so who are we putting in that device?
Yeah, so this one was interesting. Like you said, these guys had some matches. There was even, like, you know, maybe not triple threats or, you know, whatever they were calling it in the moment at that time. But we did have, of course, there was the ladder match with these guys, as we've talked about before, which was at No Mercy in 1999. We had Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys, like, you know, that they got the standing ovation. That one's a big deal. That was the Terry Runnels kind of storyline as well, too, and her being, part of this. And so that was back in SummerSlam 2000. And so we started kind of working working into this. And, you know, that was just a really good match, and we had that. So really these guys, there was just, between the three tag teams, there was just a lot of back and forth. There was a lot happening. You know, between that match happening, you also had the Hardys and the Dudley Boys at Royal Rumble in 2000. There was the tables match in that one as well too, but then them using ladders and chairs and things like that. But up until this point in this WrestleMania, we had never really had a TLC match. And so there, maybe, you know, in some indie year, you know, some kind of, you know, show in, you know, some region or something like that. But like to this degree, we had never seen anything like this. Now, even I had to remind myself of kind of where, like, there was a rationale and reason behind all of these different things. And so, of course, you had that Edge and Christian was the concerto was the biggest thing that they were always using. And so that was always a big deal. And then you had the Dudley Boys using the tables all the time, where they were putting other wrestlers, managers, just valets, females, whatever. Like, it was always a big deal when that was happening. And then Matt and Jeff, of course, the ladder matches and them using ladders, that was always a big part of it. So you had the chairs, the tables, and the ladders, and like each tag team guy was synonymous with one of those pieces. And so it kind of just like you said, it, like, while they were having matches, like, for really the year almost leading up to this match, that they never really had the true all encompassing match of putting all three together and having one big match with all of it. So it was really, though, in, like, while they had some different matches on pay-per-views, there were things happening. It wasn't really until March. So you're looking at barely under a month where you had the Hardys beating the Dudleys to win the tag titles. 2 weeks later, then you had Christian Edge winning the titles from the Hardys and then losing them that night to the Dudley Boys. And so within that month, a little bit of hot shotting with the belt, but that was okay because we knew what we were kind of getting up to for this match. And so having that, having the TLC match with all three teams, kind of the belts going back and forth. And so as we're coming into this match, that the Dudley Boys were the ones with the belts. And so that's just kind of something to remember as we're doing this. Now, we're also going to see some other people at this one, you know, in this match as well too. So just a little bit, like, at this time, ECW was kind of shut down. And so you had Rhino, you know, being with Edge and Christian. So that will be a little bit of a part in this one. You will have Spike Dudley being with the Dudleys. And then, of course, you had Lita with the Hardy Boys. So, little, you know, a lot of moving pieces on this in regards to who's involved with it, but it made, like, you can draw a straight line to why we were having a TLC, which we can't ever, or we can't always do this. Like, there's a straight line between why we're having a TLC match between these three teams at WrestleMania. And it just made, like you said, a ton of sense for why this match was happening.
Yeah, it all fit. You're exactly right. It all fit. It made sense why we had the big blow off. It made sense why we had all these, you know, why it was TLC, like why the, you know, the tables, the ladders, the chairs. It doesn't have to be that complicated.
Let's get into it, man.
All right. I'm excited. So WrestleMania 17, we are at the 1 hour and 56 minute mark.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Season 17, 1 hour, 56 minute mark. Jeff, are you ready?
Let's do this. Thumbs up.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
All right, they're all looking up.
Here, folks, it's real simple. Somehow, some way, you get a ladder, you climb it, you retrieve those tag team title belts that are hanging in the middle.
Ugh. Dare with the call.
Yep. Great old Attitude Era crowds, just all standing, ton of signs.
So starting with the beatdown of Edge and Christian at this point, yep. Right out of the gate. So
Edge and Christian never really got a tag team name, huh?
No, they
might have been the longest tag team most decorated tag team in history that never had a name.
So here's one for you. Will they ever reunite?
Yeah. Yeah. I assume, you know, my prediction would be that they do at least one more match together.
Will it be in WWE?
That to me is a very, very easy question. It is absolutely going to be in WWE.
I agree.
You know, look, I will tell you that as, you know, people are jumping to AEW, oh, you know, Tony Khan's going to push everyone more. No one's going to get lost in the shuffle. No one's ever going to get cut from the roster, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, no.
And let me tell you something. What's Christian doing?
Yeah.
What's Big Show doing? What's Mark Henry doing?
Mark Henry was last introducing a match. That was the last time he was on TV.
You know, so it's so funny when WWE disrespects their legends and okay, a Big Show is not going to be the world champion, and I'm not saying he should, but it's just like what should you do with him? What should you do with Mark Henry? Christian came in hot, but it's like I don't even know if he's wrestled any. Maybe he's hurt or something. I don't know, but it's like. You know, I mean, I'm not just trying to trash AEW. I'm just saying that Christian's a guy where it seemed like jumping was definitely the right move, or, you know, WWE
at the time, yes.
Yeah. Never offered him a contract or whatever happened. But it's like, man, Christian, limited schedule, working in the WWE might be more interesting than him managing a tag team.
A lot of high spots at this point, guys get kicked off the ladders and things like that. Well, and the topic of conversation the last couple of days has been like Ruby Riott. She's finally back with the Owen Hart stuff, but like that, you know, she was off TV for 4 or 5 months. And so she was wrestling a lot on Dark, but like, I'm not watching Dark. So
yeah, but you know, getting TV time for everyone's tough.
Well, now, yeah, like I have not seen a side-by-side comparison of the AEW and the WWE roster lately, but like I just thinking right now, like sitting here without any kind of evidence to back it up, I think AEW's roster is bigger.
Cool. And are you including the Ring of Honor guys? Are you including all the guys that are on Dark?
I am not. So yeah.
It's a lot of people.
Get the Hardys up on top of both ladders, kind of over Christian at this point. Yeah, just leg drop and a body splash. Great. And that camera flashes. We're going to get that this whole match. That's great. Yeah. Well, yeah, the Ring of Honor stuff. And even what last night or night before the Battle of the Belts stuff, like that was like you had Ring of Honor people like Dalton Castle, huge, like Ring of Honor, who's always been associated with and stuff like that. And so, yeah, just certain things like that. Absolutely. I'm not taking them into account. And yeah, you start signing all these other people like John Gresham and some of these other people. It's like, yep, like this is how it is.
He's about to do the headbutt like 2/3 of the way, Devon. I mean, this is the furthest I think I've ever seen. He's not going to get there, is he? Oh, he landed 2 feet short.
Yep.
We got a quick cut that protected it, but he was not even close. That was kind of funny.
That Kevin Dunn cut. Here we go. Time to get the tables.
Yeah, sometimes those Kevin Dunn cuts can help, though. Like that one right there could have looked
horrible. That one, yeah. They've got a style. What he's looking for under there. There's a trash can underneath, but here we go. Getting the tables in there. They're nicely set up, too, on ringside. This is different than what we see nowadays. You normally have to get the ring or the tables out from underneath the ring. And so these guys just getting them set up. So we got those are 6 footers in the ring, as well as ladders. Then you got 2 6-foot tables. You got one in the middle of the ring that's propped up as well, too, like in the corner. Mayhem and Chaos right now, just kind of set up. Crowded ring. You can see, like, he tried to do a rope whip and that didn't go well.
You know, the oh, geez.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So Bubba had Jeff up in a pit in a power bomb and then threw the power bomb down onto Edge, who was laid across the table. Yep.
But you see, like, these matches, like, these just look a little raw and grittier compared to a lot of what you see now.
Yep. Well, and you and I have said this for a while now, the last few like kind of matches like this, there's too much setup. like, you know, that like what the, you know, what the spot's going to be like for this, like at least us watching this right now, I don't always know what's happening. Now there's chaos, of course. So we got the two high tables stacked on each other. So, you know, don't necessarily, and it's about, that's probably 10 feet away from the ring too.
But this,
so,
this looks like people are trying to like create chaos, not like, hey, I gotta set up my next choreograph spot.
Well, yeah, my favorite choreograph is the ladder from the ring to the, like the guardrail. Like, you know, someone's going to get like, you know, thrown onto that ladder somehow. You just don't know how.
You know, it's interesting. I kind of brought, when you were talking about Christian, it brought up this thought, you know, we talk about how, oh, the roster's crowded, but, you know, oh, you know, WWE doing their cuts. And again, I don't know if they're doing cuts this year or not, but, oh, you know, they cut these four people. And Tony Khan said, I will never cut anyone. Okay, you'll never cut anyone, but you're going to hold people under contract and not use them. So I don't know if that's necessarily better. I guess they're getting paid something, so maybe it's better, but I don't even know if it's better. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Zack Ryder, you know, he said in a recent interview, getting cut was the best thing for me and I'm doing the best work of my career. Did you see the, just pure chaos here. Did you see the picture of him holding the seven titles up?
The seven that he said he texted it to Vince. Yeah, I saw
he texted it to Vince. And you know what Vince is going to think? You know, this son of a bitch has some balls. Maybe we need to bring him back in. Yeah. So sometimes getting cut is the best thing. Now, does it always end well? No. You know, Chris Masters got cut and he never got back. But, you know, some of these guys that either walked away or got cut, Cody.
Yeah, Drew.
Drew.
Yep.
I think Zack Ryder could be maybe not to that level, but I think he could be another success story.
Yep.
That gets another shot. And man, these guys come back and they're headlining WrestleMania. You know, I mean, well, Cody Rhodes is going to be a world champion. Drew McIntyre was and probably will be again a world champion.
Well, and I think that I relate this back to, like, you know, any major pro sport of sometimes you got to leave to go make a name for yourself. Here comes Spike down the ring. Bodies are everywhere.
Yeah, this match had a little more shenanigans than some of their other stuff. But I mean, yeah. I think they just needed to throw something at the kitchen sink. I used to love Spike's finisher there. Wow.
What do you notice about the crowd, though? Every single one of them's on their feet. Yeah, Spike's got a great finisher like that. You don't even see that one anymore.
Everyone's standing.
Yep. It was Spike. So that was
his and not just.
Yep.
And this was
to the outside from a table. Yeah, or through a table. And there's Rhino now in the ring.
I've said before, but JR and Heyman on commentary is just so good.
Yep.
I'll take it over JR and King any day.
There's
Heyman
is
so good.
Oh, Rhino with a bunch through the table. Yep.
She's
running rough shot over everybody.
Is that Matt Hardy just put through the table?
Always been a big fan of Rhino from Southeast Michigan. So I'm always been a big fan of him.
Yep.
He still did. I remember he did like a town near me, like a little tiny shit town. Like he did like, it was like one of those ice arena shows. Like they had a ring in there. Like he just like, yeah, it was the weirdest venue, but he was,
there's Lita. Lita who's still working.
Yep. Rhino's got her now. Lita taking the bump. Oh, but then Spike with a little one. Now this is good. I like this because you've got the three kind of external people and yes, they're getting involved in the match. Oh, Lita with the Hurricane Rana onto Rhino.
It made sense. It makes perfect sense.
The three extra people are the ones fighting each other, not like them interfering a ton with the match. Yeah, they are, but like it's also like this is chaos right now. You know, I got nine bodies out here just getting crazy. Man, Lita looks young too. They all look young, but Jesus.
Well, it's just crazy to think Lita, I mean, working a great women's match in 2022.
One of the best women's matches, in 2022.
Well, and the significance of them being on those billboards.
hurt, just full on no block chair shot to Spike. Oh, getting the 3D now.
I mean, this is,
fans are losing it. Chair shots from Edge. Oh man. So Edge tossed the chair to Bubba, who then Christian hit the chair with another chair.
Do you understand what I'm saying? That this is not a spot fest. This all flows so well and makes perfect sense.
It's flowing shockingly well. Like, how do you set this up behind the scenes to get the timing right?
Is you work really, really hard to do it. That's what.
Right. Yeah. Like you had to. So is that the 12 footer finally? Yep. Falling into the crowd. Yep. Jeff trying to manage this. There's your 12 footer setting it up.
So are we officially on board that two nights of WrestleMania is better than one?
I am. Okay. I like two nights, but also I think if you're going to do one night, get it back under 5 hours. Like, I don't think, you know, you can't have, there's Jeff with a swanton here. I mean, he's like
super high ladder.
Swanton to Rhino through a table. And Spike. I think if you're going to load the card up to have it be 8-9 hours, yeah, you got to do two nights. But I think if you're going to do, like you and I talked about at the top of the show here, if you're going to do something where you're cutting, like, not everybody deserves to be on WrestleMania. And so, you know, if that's the case, then we can do one night again. I don't think it's them selling it out anymore isn't a problem. I think in LA, they will have zero problem. I think you will see more of the celebrity involvement if we're in LA too. Every article that's coming out right now in the Dirt Sheets, nobody is going to be on Roman's level between now and if The Rock happens, which I have no idea what you do otherwise right now. If you don't have The Rock, maybe Cena's the only other person that could potentially go. But even then, you know, they're probably not winning. Like, it would be great. It'd be incredible to see Rock even give him a 3-month run. You know, that's all you need. All right. So you got, this is Devon and Christian hanging from the belts. No ladder. Oh boy. I don't remember what's going to happen. I know one of the spots here, but I don't know what's going to happen in this moment. Oh boy. Devon falling. Looked like he hit his head.
Ooh.
Christian, one hand hanging on the ring. Oh, there he goes. Okay. Crazy. Yeah. So to your point. Yeah. I think two nights is the way to go here. I don't necessarily agree with it, but you know, based on the circumstances, I don't agree with it. Jeff trying to do something crazy and that didn't work. Trying to walk across the top of three ladders, which kudos for trying, buddy. But I think they actually kept them short this year. What, they were under 4 hours each?
Yeah, they were like a 3 hour, 3:45.
Okay with that. Yep. And so, because you know, for me too, like that day before I had, or the day of Saturday, I flew back from vacation. And so you've got Jeff now moving one of the ladders. Here comes the spot, if you will. Bubba grabbing the ladder so that. Now Jeff is hanging from the belt. You got Edge on the 12 footer. Oh man. And there's the 10 foot high spear from the iconic shot.
A moment that you will see played every WrestleMania season for as long as you live. What an awesome, awesome move. I think we're absolutely getting two nights. I mean, here's the thing. From a business standpoint, there's two things. If you can fill a football stadium two nights in a row, why wouldn't you? And how much do you think Peacock likes it? I mean, they're getting a ton of viewers, but they're getting two events. So, hey, we're giving you two WrestleManias, not one. We're giving you two nights of programming, not one. It's, you know, with the bonus. Unbelievable.
So that was Rhino pushing over the 12 foot ladder from the center of the ring to the outside on the two high stack tables. Bubba and was that Matt going through them? They had to jump a bit there too. Like that.
Just go back and watch this if you haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah, tonight, like Yeah, it's
good. Yeah, no, but from the Peacock standpoint, you're getting the 2-hour pre-show, you're getting you're getting 12 hours of content over 2 days, plus all the other, you know, NXT and all the other ancillary stuff they do. But yeah, you're going to have it forever. I have no issue with it at all. It's a pain in the ass to attend. It's a lot of money. So as a fan attending, it's not great, but for the millions of us that aren't attending live, I do think it's great. It gives you a whole weekend of programming to look forward to. And again, it makes a lot of sense. I thought they did a great job, and I'm already looking forward to LA, and I don't know if they've named Vegas the year after, but hopefully Vegas the year after. So there you go. Edge and Christian. It feels like they always win these big matches, but they win this one.
This one. Yeah. So stealing it from the Dudleys, who are kind of laid out. Yep.
Well, let's get into the aftermath.
Oh, it's time for the aftermath.
All right. Initial thoughts.
That was crazier than I remember, but better than I remember too. Like that, like you said, we always, you and I shit on, like, you know, when the telegraphed kind of spot fests, and this was not that. Like, yeah, there was a lot of spots, but it did not feel telegraphed. It felt really strong. Everybody looked like, you know, after the Cody promo, what, last week or this week, or whatever it was, like, these guys look like superstars. They did not look like wrestlers. Like, I think that's a great way to look at this.
I will tell you that I hate saying this was way better than I expected, but it was a lot better than I even expected. I mean, it didn't stop. I mean, it was just a 15-minute car crash. It all made sense. It all flowed together.
Right. It really was. Like, that's the best way to describe it. Yeah, absolutely. So kind of how did this play out? Kind of what happened with some of this as well too. So of course you had the Hardys, actually, it was a couple of months later. They actually won the WCW tag team championships from Booker T and Test. And so, they ended up losing them a couple of weeks later to the Dudley Boys. Beating Booker T and Test again for the WWF tag team championships, WWE, a month after that. And so there was a lot of that happening. And so it was Survivor Series then of this year, 2001, where we had the Dudleys taking on the Dudleys, and it was a steel cage title unification match. This had, of course, the brothers breaking up as well too. Kind of playing that. And then the story, it actually didn't last very long where they were broken up. They actually reunited very quickly. It was actually January. So there was like a whole lot of tag team hot swapping with a couple different bouts, a breakup. They're back together, all this other stuff. And so, had them, and then kind of feuding with Brock Lesnar as well too. A lot of different things happening. Like there's almost too much to get into in this. So the next WrestleMania 18 was the APA and Dudley Boys at Billy and Chuck. There was a Four Corners elimination match. And so you had that one. And so it just a lot happening. And so these guys, busy, busy schedule. So Edge and Christian at this point, losing their tag team titles, actually the Brothers of Destruction as well too. Just like a couple weeks after this. You had I forgot this. It was Rhino, Edge, Christian, and Kurt Angle. So it was Edge winning the 2001 King of the Ring tournament. All four guys were in the finals. And so you had some friction with that as well too. And then of course the feud with those guys, turning heel, Edge joining the Alliance, all kind of stuff happening there. And so there was a feud there with the Intercontinental Championship. And so then I'm getting into that. And then the Dudleys as well too, joining the Alliance, if you remember, being a part of that. And so it was, of course, the ECW and WCW wrestlers with Shane and Stephanie as well too. And so then the kind of takeover. And so kind of dealing with that. So and Dudleys being the enforcers, if you will, in a little bit, in a lot of ways. We kind of mid card, but still, you know, very involved, a lot of things happening, and kind of doing that. Of course, the introduction of Stacy Kubler as well, too, her being a part of that. And so, yeah. And so, and eventually these guys, they were actually the first tag team. This is a little trivia for you here, to hold all the belts, WCW, ECW, and the WWF belts. So just kind of fun little trivia piece there. So first tag team ever to have all three. So, all right. So PWI, where we rank on this one, kind of all over the board a little bit here. You had Edge was number 8. Christian was 30. Matt Hardy was not ranked. I don't know why. Neither was Devon. Jeff Hardy was 58 and Bubba Ray was unranked too. So I don't know why there was so many unranked, because these guys had so many matches. I don't know if I just looked it up wrong. I don't think I looked it up wrong, because I double checked a couple times, but like, it just, for whatever reason, these guys were just like unranked. So, some of the write-ups on this one, a couple different things, actually. I'll get into just the kind of random ones on this one. It said, Edge said, this match has a lot of ingredients to help make it a tasty morsel for anyone watching. I would like to think the fans got their money's worth in that match alone, not to forget all the other amazing matches that took place that night. That was Edge. Jeff said, psychology wise, TLC 2 was the best of all the best big gimmick matches. We were worried that there was nothing we could do that would come close to the previous TLC, but we knew that the run-ins from Lita, Spike, Rhino were going to make it a little different. Considering the fact that we had 9 bodies and a bunch of inanimate objects, the match was pretty sound. The torch on this one gave it 4.25 stars. They said too, the TLC match deserves a claim in part because it introduced new daredevil spots that didn't put the wrestlers at greater risk than usual. There was a few greater risk spots there, so I don't know if I agree with that, but that's okay. The Observer gave this one 4.75 stars. Edge and Christian captured their record-setting 7th tag title. Statistics so meaningless nowadays, it was never referred to on the broadcast. While some of the wrestlers involved expressed disappointment with this match, it was from a psychological standpoint superior to their SummerSlam match. Even more remarkable in a match filled with crazy spots that nobody was seriously injured. I don't know who was disappointed with this match. I didn't see any of that. So yeah, maybe in the moment, who knows? But okay, so you got 4.75 stars. You got 4.25 stars. Tom, how many payout? What's your payoff score here? How many stars you want to give this one?
I mean, you've got so much of a build to get to this point. I mean, you've the Dudley's history in ECW and being such a decorated tag team, and Edge and Christian and the Hardys and everything they went through. I mean, so build wise, this is great. Aftermath, you know, some of these guys are still wrestling and all Hall of Famers, right? No question about that. You know, to me, this is like a 9. This is just a great, great, great match. Super fun. You could put this in front of someone that's never watched wrestling before and just say, hey, just have fun watching this for 15 minutes. The storyline made sense. It felt real. The outside interference, I actually liked it watching back more than I remembered. So I absolutely love this. I thought it was just fantastic. What about you?
I'm actually at a 9.2. I actually had this at the start of this before we watched it. I was like, I have a feeling I'm going to give this a pretty high score. And yeah, this one deserves a high score. There was just so much happening. There was never like downtime. In a lot of these matches too, you're kind of like, okay, where's so-and-so? Like you're kind of looking to the outside of the ring to see like who's hiding. I got caught up in this one to the point where I wasn't really paying attention to that fact. And so, I don't think the interference was overdone. It did kind of make sense. And I think maybe, you know, you don't see that a whole lot. You have the two people interfering are the ones that are the few, or the three people interfering are the ones that are interfering with each other. So even like, yes, while they were involved in the match, it was almost like kind of like sidebar to some of that. Like, yeah. So I enjoyed that. I'm with you as well too. It just made a lot of sense. So, doing that. Yeah. I any lower than that, I feel like it would be disrespectful. I feel like they just put on a great match. Like I said, they avoided the spots. It was just really good.
No complaints, man. This was a fun one. And I would say WrestleMania season is officially over, but you have one more WrestleMania match for us to
come. I had to do one more. I know. Absolutely. And so, you know what season is not over though, Tom?
Well, we're just getting started. It's starting to get warmer out.
It's starting to get warmer. And if there's one thing that everyone should make sure they're doing, it's like, as I like to refer to it as the man garden, the lady garden, whatever you have, like make sure that you're using Manscaped products. Of course, Tom and I always plug in it, 20% off free shipping using that code payoff20. Just great stuff. I feel like it's been like, we're due for a new product. I feel like you and I make jokes about that. Like they're always coming out with new stuff. And so make sure to kind of check out what's in the store. Is the seasons change here? We may get some new stuff. I don't know if you've got a secret email that we can't tell, you know, not telling anybody about, but I don't think we got anything right now, but it's only a matter of time. So, manscaped.com, the promo code is payoff20 for free shipping, and 20% off.
All right. You heard it at Payoff Tom, at Payoff Jeff on Twitter. And the pod is at Payoff Pod. Thanks as always for listening. We'll see you on Twitter. We'll see you next week. And one more WrestleMania match this season. All right. As always, thank you for joining us on the Payoff.